Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
Attention. 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 Do I have everybody's attention now? Burn it
down! This is the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast.
Finally!
Scotty Villa brings you your new favorite pro wrestling podcast.
There is nothing you could do that is more dangerous than wrestling CM Punk.
He's got the latest in covering all of the major promotions in professional wrestling.
Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
Breaking news and hot topics, he's covering everything from Monday night till Sunday night's main event.
I'm the hottest thing in professional wrestling. I'm Dr. Britt Baker.
And we never forget to go old school.
I was rowdy before rowdy was cool.
From the golden era.
The irresistible force meeting the immovable object.
To the attitude era.
And if you're not done with that, Philly's got two words for ya.
To the revolution.
It's about the 14 years it took me to go from undesirable to un-goddamn-deniable.
And everything in between.
Superkick Hotel!
This is your pro wrestling podcast. This is In My House.
Give me a hell yeah!
Welcome to my
Welcome, everybody, to the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast. It is me, resident Zack Sabre Jr., joined by Scotty Villa and, of course, fan favorite UK Tom.
Hello. I'd actually forgotten that
you dyed your hair and was incredibly fucking confused when I joined the call.
This is Scotty Villa's other Zoom
call. Yeah. Yeah. A real worker. I look like a real worker.
Oh,
I mean, most of everybody's favorites had hair much similar to Scott and myself.
That's right.
Like Stone Cold, yeah, The Rock.
That's right.
Batista, I mean John Cena these days.
Say his name and he appears.
I believe in Joe Henry.
Great job, guys. Great job. We're just kind of flying by the seat of our pants on this week's episode of the Miles Pro Wrestling Podcast. It's been a fun week of pro wrestling, I think. Last week I enjoyed what I had seen. I enjoyed Monday Night Raw the other night here. So
did you? I did.
Yeah, it was a fun. I'm not gonna lie. It's the first 2-hour show I've watched. I've not really gotten through the other ones because they were kind of rough.
I actually thought this week's Raw was really fun.
They had some things that made sense.
And I loved the chaos of Bronson Reed and Seth Rollins all over the place. What else did I like? The tag match with LWO and the Creed Brothers was fantastic.
Very good. Very good.
Io Sky was on the show, which always makes me happy. Carlito made himself look like a dick.
Oh, let's get into that for a second. Io Sky and Kairi Sane were doing a backstage bit with Adam Pearce. They leave the office. Carlito comes in and allegedly throws in an unscripted line, according to the Dirties. He says, "I need to learn how to speak Chinese." And that was the wrong thing to say because those women are Japanese.
Yeah, not a good idea. It does, even if his gimmick is that he's stupid, like.
Yeah.
We're acting like this is the most ridiculous thing to happen on Monday Night Raw.
Well,
you have a point.
It's the internet, though. As soon as somebody does something wrong, even if it doesn't affect them, they still will make themselves a victim by being offended by what they seen or saw. And now they need to tweet and have people canceled and tell sponsors to pull out and all that hippie horse shit. So that's...
I mean, I'm not going to give my opinion on the line one way or another because... whatever, it's not important. But knowing what I know about Io, if she was offended, she would have hauled off and punched him right in the face, on camera or not.
I mean, is it insensitive to say that I don't think she understood what he said anyway?
She may not, but like, I don't think it's the big deal that everyone's making it out to be like. I mean, was it stupid? Yeah.
Come at me. I'm just like Carlito now. You can't kill what's already dead.
They'll kick you out of the judgment day, Mike.
I mean, it's a joke, clearly. Like, get mad at you all you want, internet. No one's coming for me. Everyone just hates UK Tom, apparently.
And yeah. So that,
and I bring the real heat.
That's how I took it when I watch it, because I didn't see the online backlash before I saw it. I took it as Carlito's just a dummy and doesn't know that they're Japanese wrestlers and just on with the segment they went, kind of thing, right? So but some other people didn't see it that way, and he tweeted about it. So
it's fucking pro wrestling.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
I've also got to give it to Adam Pearce and Nick Aldis. Are they the best general managers we've ever had on screen?
Yes.
It's the best use of a general manager.
Like
in WWE, for sure.
I liked Eric Bischoff and Stephanie back in the day. I thought they were very good. But I definitely think Adam and Nick are the best in the role that we've ever had.
It's fun to see that they're not just puppets of the big boss, right? Like Eric Bischoff did his thing, but he was kind of a puppet for Vince, who had, like, Mr. McMahon, sorry, who always had final say, kind of thing, right? Same thing with when Stephanie would be heel. She was, well, you're messing with family. It's not the general manager. This is our business, yada, yada, yada. I love that the way that these two guys are portraying their GMs. The one thing that I loved from SmackDown last week was when Randy Orton was confronting Nick Aldis, saying, bring Kevin Owens here, bring him now. I want him now. I want him tonight. I want him this and that. And Nick is like, I can't, I can't, I can't. And Randy's going, what do you mean you can't? You're the general manager. And he's going, this is above me. This isn't my call anymore.
Yeah.
I'm the general manager, but they're making the call. It just added another layer to the importance of that storyline with Cody and Kevin Owens and Randy Orton. And it made Nick Aldis, it made him not look weak, because it's not his call. It's out of his hands.
But also a thing I like is they're not shying away from the fact that they're both former wrestlers.
Yeah.
So like, heels in the past would intimidate Heyman when he was the general manager. They're not doing that with Adam and Nick.
Yeah, they hold the ground.
Stupid. Yeah. It would look stupid if they tried, especially because Nick Aldis is a big dude.
Oh yeah. He looks funny in suits.
He does, yeah.
He really does. He's nothing like us. He's too bulky and jacked. So
fucking speak for yourself, man.
I'm sorry.
Fucking regular Braun Strowman over here.
Talking to clanging and banging.
Talking about yourself.
Monday Night Mike. but yeah, Tom, I'm with you. I completely agree. The general managers that we have now are the best on-screen general managers we've probably ever seen in the WWE. And any other company that's looking to do the general manager gimmick, you best do it as good as that, because it's working. I mean, it's great. And they're credible. They can make matches. They can handle fines, suspensions, whatever. And then when something else somewhat as serious happens, like the Kevin Owens jumping Cody and Randy backstage or behind an arena, that's above these general managers, and they're making that known on screen. So it's great, great booking.
Go ahead, Tom.
Sorry. Even down to Ava in NXT, who obviously is we need a job for The Rock's daughter, but she is also doing a very good job in her role as general manager. It's all around. So
I liked how Pierce like gave the match for Crown Jewel for Rollins and Bronson Reed. It also feels like they were fighting all night, which I was just like, well, okay.
I like that. I like that they
said
that.
I'm not in that camp of liking that. That's where it's like, I know wrestling's cartoonish. It's a reason we like it, is because it's like a Saturday morning cartoon. And I was like, this is a little much. But that I did think this is something to be excited for Crown Jewel. But like, Rollins had the right fire.
I also wonder if that's because you watched it in Monday Night Mike 20 minutes.
The best way to watch it.
So it was. It may have seemed like it was more than it was, because to me it was three very short segments, as in less than a minute each time.
Yeah, but it feels like it's just carrying out throughout the show, and you're just getting the glimpse in there.
It was in the first four segments. Yeah. That was it.
It worked well. And
it's a two-hour show now. How many segments are in Monday Night Raw?
That's a good point. That's a good point.
But they still got everything else in the show. Like, I didn't feel like the show suffered at all in any way for any division, whether it's men, women's, or tag team. So I think they found that groove for Monday Night Raw this week. The one thing I do want to touch on that I absolutely loved about the Bronson Reed and Seth Rollins stuff was the first attack, and then Rollins running to the ring, or speed walking, sorry. And not being this giant goofy cornball character with waiting for people to sing his songs with his crazy outfit and holding the mic. He storms to the ring, tells them to cut the music immediately. The fans start singing. He pauses for a half second, then gets right into the aggression and right into Bronson Reed. I'm going to kick your ass, which is a Seth Rollins that I loved. I know after a little while when he kind of did this before, after the Shield stuff and after he turned babyface, that didn't last too long. I think it kind of weighed on fans where we don't really want a goody two shoes Seth Rollins, but I like this change. I'm hoping we see this a little bit more instead of the super over the top, I'm over because my song is over guy.
I got two things from Raw that I absolutely loved.
All right. Yes.
So one of them is unrelated to pretty much anything, but you know the security guard that came flying out thanks to Braun Strowman and landed on the stage?
Yep.
That was Marcus Mathers from GCW. And I'm putting it on record now, that guy has a hell of a career in front of him. He is a fantastic talent. So just seeing him on Raw was really cool for me.
Very cool.
And a groundbreaking thing here. Like, I don't think I've ever said these words before. I am excited for what's next for the Final Testament.
Ooh, love this. In what way? What do you think is going to come up?
Well, it looks like it's going to be them and the Wyatt Six.
Yep.
Which I wanted from the beginning. And I think guys like Dexter Lumis and Joe Gacy are perfect to work with the Authors of Pain. And I also wonder if last night was the last time we will see Paul Ellering.
I think so.
I think they were writing him off TV.
I agree. There's no other reason to give him the mandible claw thing. So I got that vibe as well. I'm very curious to see if Mike is Mizanin. The Miz. I don't know why I went with Mike right off the bat, but I don't fucking know the guy. Throwing out government names here. I'm curious to see if he kind of continues to turn into like more of a badass guy, like maybe joining the leather jacket gang kind of thing. I think it'll be weird if he's just the suit guy with a bunch of leather jacket guys that are in the Final Testament. So I'm hoping, I really want something completely different from The Miz. He can still be like The Miz when he speaks and whatnot, but I think visually a big change for The Miz would be a huge help for him.
Wow, he's been this way for 16 years now. Like, change it up.
The Miz is just Paul Ellering.
Oh, you're probably right.
That's what he's becoming.
You're probably
That's
right.
That's exactly what he's becoming. Like, keeps him on TV. He's not a bad talker. It'll be fine. I actually didn't care for that segment, and I actually think, here's my hot take of the week. I think the Wyatt Six is, they're going to blow it. Like, they're going to blow it with the Wyatt Six.
That is a hot take, because I'm complete opposite. I think this long, slow burn is perfection right now.
We're throwing out perfect real quick, and I'm a guy who doesn't give out 10 out of 10s a lot, but that is not perfection.
I followed it up with it right now. I followed it up with it right now, but go ahead.
It's the type of gimmick you can't rush. And they are definitely not. So,
especially when the main character, who is Bo Dallas, who is Uncle Howdy, is not a huge guy like The Undertaker or Batista, whether he's a dominating factor. I think if that was the case, it would be different. I think it would be rushed a lot more, where these guys are just monsters taking over. But they're just playing the tortured souls and going after people that have done them wrong or done wrong to their quote unquote family in the past. So I'm really enjoying it. I'm enjoying the slow burn. I am slightly worried about what's going to be like, or what it's going to be like for them a year from now, but, or even Mania season. What's the setup there?
Mid-card. But, always mid-card. Never elevating above. Bo is not going to be Bray.
And that's...
They are not going to put him in that main event spot.
That's not necessarily a bad thing.
No, and especially, you're not wrong there with the like WWE really making emphasis on the mid-card on TV.
I mean, regardless of all what we all think, did you hear that fucking pop when that piano hit last night?
It did.
Like, the crowd are into it.
I will give...
That crowd was into it.
That crowd was hot last night on Raw. They were into pretty much everything. Even the tag matches where they didn't start hot and they were kind of flat, including the women's stuff, the matches brought them back and they were on fire. It was a nice crowd, real nice crowd. But I'm fully with Tom on this one. I'm fully invested in what the Wyatt Six are doing, and the slow burn is working.
Well, there was a lot of pro wrestling this weekend, including, as we talked about, Maple Leaf Pro returned. Do we have any thoughts on that after we've actually watched? Well, one of us has watched it.
So I watched Saturday night one. I bought both nights, so this week I'm going to filter through night two, but I did get caught up on everything, and I've seen the results of everything. And I'm kind of just going to echo a lot of what a lot of the wrestling media have been saying since Saturday night. Is it was a hell of a debut for Maple Leaf Pro Wrestling. Like, they put themselves on the map as a company that can put on a great show with great wrestling matches, and even though there was no storylines really going into it, they've got storylines coming out of it. And they had a great mixture of talent you may never have heard of, talent you're familiar with, talent you fully know and are Hall of Famers and former world champions from different companies, and current champions like Takeshita being the international AEW international champion, working double duty. Well, I think everyone worked double duty, but like, yeah, fucking going main event style all weekend long. Guys, Maple Leaf Pro Wrestling is a fantastic product, and the card is what sold me for the most part for me to put down my $30. There was a part of me that said, I want this company to succeed. Selfishly, I want this company to grow so they tour and come our way so we can go to their shows out here in Saskatchewan.
Yeah.
And they can't do that if guys like me aren't throwing down their $30 to order the pay-per-view. It was great to see that they eventually did sell out both nights. They had sold out day of for walk-ups and everything. So great start. It sounds like there was a pretty good online presence for people purchasing on Triller TV. The matches were fantastic. I didn't know probably 80% of the card. And all the wrestlers that were on that show brought it and worked their ass off for Scott D'Amore and the crowd in Windsor, Ontario. Great product, great brand. Production-wise, fantastic. There was some hiccups, which is perfectly fine. It wasn't anything that I was like, that's egregious. I got to let the guys know this was terrible. They're not Lillian Garcia in it. But they did a great job, and I'm happy. I can't wait to see what comes in 2025. Maple Leaf Pro Wrestling is here. Canadian wrestling is on the map. And 2025, I've got high hopes for Scott D'Amore's company.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see how often they run. And if they just stay in Ontario, which I think will be a mistake if they do.
I agree.
Obviously, we want them in Saskatchewan, but we also do acknowledge that we are in buttfuck nowhere. So it's not easy for them to get here. Obviously, a card with Mike Bailey, Josh Alexander, and Takeshita on there, you're going to get your money. So
easily.
I'm glad. I'm glad to hear it went as well as it did, but I'm also glad I didn't give them my $30 because I did not know that Don Callis was on commentary. And I would have been apocalyptically angry if I tuned in and that prick was talking. I cannot stand that guy.
I'm going to push back on that. this was the best Don Callis commentary wise I've ever seen. He wasn't an over the top heel like he is in AEW. He wasn't an over the top color commentary heel like he was in New Japan. So he was just the color guy. He was calling it along with Moro and just adding to the matches and the stories. And I think you're missing out, because I think he did a great job. Hearing Moro back was fantastic, but not having just a guy taking digs at everybody and everything, which Don Callis does, was a great refresher from somebody that's not at a WWE commentary table.
He is the reason I stopped watching TNA.
Wow.
Wow.
And I will that's never forgive him for that.
I guess my question for Maple Leaf Pro Wrestling, especially with this card, having so many people who work in other companies, you become a touring company. Who's your stars? Who's your stars worth filling arenas? Yeah. Forged in Excellence is going to get eyes on it. Look at the talent that came with it. They're not going to work there week to week if it is going to become something like that. Is the goal not you have to have stars in your company? Like, these guys may not be available at all times to come down. And like, you're not going to get Takeshita every show, because you can't. Like, of course, your big one, you're pulling out all the stops. Like, I don't blame them. Who's available? Who can come work here? Let's have this great show. What happens when those guys can't come?
I think outside
is there star power there that warrants you watching?
Yeah, I think outside of WWE, you're seeing talent from major companies going other places and even winning championships. Like, Mercedes is a New Japan Women's Champion and the TBS Champion AEW. You're seeing TNA title holders showing up in NXT and vice versa. I agree with you that it's going to be really hard to build your own roster of exclusive guys to stick on your roster. But the way TNA has done things in the past when Scott D'Amore ran it, I think he's shown that he's got enough great connections with New Japan, with AEW, Ring of Honor at the time back in the day, that you could put a championship on a Josh Alexander and he could show up in TNA. He may not carry that Maple Leaf Pro Championship on TV, but they may mention it that he won it over the weekend. And the TV tapings that TNA does are fantastically well thought out and planned around their pay-per-view. So they do a pay-per-view, then they do basically 2 days worth of TV tapings that'll last them like 4 to 6 weeks. Or whatever it is, kind of thing, right? So I think D'Amore is just taking that TNA formula that he helped build, and he can apply it to Pro or Maple Leaf Pro. So you get enough content to get to the next pay per view. So if you got to drop the title because Ricochet has to go exclusively back to AEW, you can do it.
Does it? Okay. So with all the inter promotion workers, like, I mean, the Fed is not shying away from it either, obviously working with TNA. I feel like it's a mess in AEW. Like, I don't think it helps either brand with their relationship with New Japan. Like, I don't. At one point, I thought it was like, this is amazing. Like, the first Forbidden Door, you're like, this is crazy.
It's the dream.
I think that shtick is gone. Like, I don't feel excited about that kind of cross promotion.
I'll just fire back at you with the touring thing doesn't work with three simple letters. GCW. They will bring in whoever they can get. I mean, they have their main group of talent and they'll pretty much be on all the shows, but they'll fill the card out with whoever they can get.
It works to keep GCW where GCW is.
Fair, but then... Like,
wait, this is my thing too. Like, what are we looking at Maple Leaf Pro to be, right? Like, what's the goal?
Good question.
If it's going to be something like a competitor to GCW, then fucking great. Then we know where it sits and where it's going to be in the hierarchy of wrestling promotions. Like, so, this is where I'm going to watch. I'll get Forged in Excellence and I'll watch their matches. Cause I hear, yeah, there's great wrestling on the show. I just don't know. And it doesn't have to be the Fed. Like, I know we're Fed heavy on here, like, we appreciate wrestling of all sorts. Like, I just want to know where it's going to exist in the pantheon, like, of wrestling.
But that's all subjective too, because
sure,
your pantheon is probably very different to mine.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of what we like work wise as well.
Yeah,
like it's like any medium, like, or any like art form, we all like different things. But yeah, you're starting a promotion. What's your goal? I got to assume it's to make money. Yeah, like make money. You start these things. It's a business still, right? Like, I laugh at AEW. I just don't understand how they make their money. Like, besides getting like money from Warner to be like, yeah, you can come on here. Like, here's some money. But like, if people aren't going to the shows, like, seeing images and stuff on Twitter of Forge and Excellence, I'm like, great looking size room.
Yeah.
Looked full. Like, that's kind of the appeal where ECW worked on us when we were younger, right? Like, it felt like, yeah, this is the counterculture. Now that, like, GCW is a thing, like Maple Leaf Pro, like, there's all these little things where you're just like, okay, there's enough small room guys, but there's nothing quite like seeing a crowd at fucking WrestleMania or AEW in Wembley.
Yeah. Yeah,
like,
you're right.
The spectacle is still kind of a part of it. So I just, I want Canada to succeed. Like, I want to have a promotion where people look and be like, yes, like, there's real shit happening up there. But I think you want to build stars. That's the backbone of most companies.
But I think the thing that Maple Leaf will struggle with the most if they do decide to leave Ontario is simply the cost and the size of Canada.
Yeah.
Like, imagine dragging all of their production and their ring to Vancouver. That's a fucking long way.
Well, you get the joy too, like, in terms of production, like, hard to say if they're a company who is on the basis of own television equipment. Probably not. So going into a market like British Columbia, you have lots of options to get that gear. But you're right. Stage, ring. It's
even
not
even getting the talent down to Vancouver.
Yeah. Like, I mean, yeah, flights in Canada, like, not cheap, but that's a market they have to hit. They have to go where people go. And I obviously think they're going to stick around Ontario. It's a numbers game. And that's fine. Like, we knew that was going to be happening.
They have
the numbers, and Montreal is just going to say
all up there.
Yeah. But you can't stay there forever.
No,
you can't. You can't run through the market and just be like, give Canada a taste.
Yeah.
I think when it comes to touring, I think Vancouver is the next stop outside of Ontario, because yeah, it's expensive for Canadians to fly across, but to get Americans up into Canada, Vancouver is an easy stop for them. I think that's sure. All right there. Like Mike was saying, there's plenty of production crews out in Vancouver at all times to shoot whatever they need to shoot. And after that, my guess would be Calgary. Calgary is a hotbed for pro wrestling, so that makes sense. I feel like that's probably the closest we're going to get in the next year or two, if I'm being honest. I'm hoping I'm wrong. I'm hoping they do a stop here in Saskatchewan, but you're right. It's all dollars and cents, and those are probably the stops. When it comes to distribution, I think now is the best time, better than ever, obviously, because you have Triller TV, you've got YouTube, you've got Fight TV in Canada, you've got TSN and Sportsnet or CTV or Global that you can throw it on at 11 o'clock at night on a Saturday if you really want to for programming. So I think there's plenty of options there. That's my guess, is probably establish a company, establish your homegrown stars and stars that you can bring in for, I'd say, a good 6 months to a year, so you can get a year's worth of programming out of Josh Alexander showing up or Jinder Mahal or whatever it may be. And you can do your TV tapings, then you kind of reset after that 1 year. When it comes to big shows, like whatever their WrestleMania could be, that's where I think they'll get run into some difficulties for filling a bigger room. So I'm excited to see. I think they can pull it off and do it. I love the show. I love the look of it, the sound of it. It was well mic'd. Pay attention, AEW. It was well mic'd for a smaller room. And it was great to see wrestlers that I didn't know work their asses off. And now I'm like looking up their stuff. So that was a huge win for me.
The problem Maple Leaf will have in Saskatchewan, whether it be Regina or Saskatoon, is the conversation that we've had before of where the hell are they going to go? Like, they can't go to the Brand Center. It's too big. They definitely can't do the Sastel Center in Saskatoon. So
you can, there's rooms like Doris Knight Hall at Center of the Arts. It's a fair sized room.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it looks like stuff I see from GCW anyhow.
Yeah.
Like, you can get a decent looking crowd in there.
Well, there we go.
Yeah, it's potential's there. Like, and not to sound negative, but I think it's an interesting conversation to be like, what's the goals, right? Like, AEW came into the market to be like, we're a competitor. Like, guess who we're competing with? They made it pretty clear, like, we're coming at the Fed. And I'm not saying Maple Leaf has to, right? Like, they're not going to be the Fed killer. But I like the alternatives out there, but it's just, where are you positioning yourself? Like, I think the money conversation is always, the business part of wrestling interests me so much.
In my head, I imagine that Maple Leaf is going to become to Canada what Rev Pro is to England.
Mm. Oh, I'd love that. I would love that.
Cool. So I hate to say it, but like, it's like a feeder system.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, and that's cool, because like, those guys, especially young talent, who like, you have to assume, I don't know, never a worker. So workers, sound off if you're listening to the pod. I think you'd have dreams and aspirations of going to the show. Right? Like, where do you want to end up? Some guys who went in the past are like, it fucking sucks here. Like, of course, because like, you can carve out whatever you want on these smaller scenes. It makes it different. Like, characters like that work. Like, it sucks because you look at Danhausen, you're like, yes, his character works in smaller promotions. Gets to AEW and they're like, what the fuck do we do with you? Like, well, let him work.
Yeah, that's the first fucking problem.
Like, let him work. I get it's a goofy gimmick, but there's a place for it.
But Danhausen's goofy gimmick in GCW is perfect.
I 100% agree, because that crowd knows what they want. Also, I'll give it to that crowd too. They're watching everything. If you're watching GCW, there's a good chance you're watching everything.
Yeah.
But they can appreciate the goofy shit that, like, the Fed isn't gonna do. They aren't. AEW thought they were getting in that market, and then they're like, we're going to go less goofy. Athleticism, and as Scott likes to say, the flippy dippy shit is a priority, because they think if someone turns the channel and they see that on their screen, that's going to be what sells them.
I mean, it's no secret I'm a huge GCW mark. Like, mm-hmm. you follow me on Twitter or listen to me on here. You know that. The GCW show from this weekend, Blood on the Hills 3, I think it was the best GCW show I have seen in a long time. Wow. From start to finish, fantastic.
And you've loved a lot of their shows in like the last year, haven't you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Super high on GCW.
Blood on the Hills 3 will be a show I recommend to people as their first GCW show.
Do they have a show in December?
They have about 27 in December. Okay.
I was going to say, and I'm going to throw it out there on the pod. I think I might've even done it last week, but in the group chat, we'd kind of thrown out there, like, we should all watch a GCW show. Ooh, the same.
I'm going to watch the one Tom just said, Blood on the Hills 3.
I will double check the title and let you know.
Yeah.
But I also had an idea for that.
Okay.
So in January, they are going back to the Hammerstein Ballroom for their biggest show ever.
Awesome.
What's it called?
So I was thinking maybe the People versus GCW.
Great. It's a great name.
Basically, they've admitted this will be the second time they're running the Hammerstein in New York. And the first time they did, it was ass. It was an awful show. And they've admitted that. And now they're running it like, we know we're guilty. We fucked up. This is what we're doing.
Was it asked because of technical issues or just not a properly set up room? What was the issue?
So they didn't mic the room. We couldn't hear the crowd.
Oh, wow.
Which for them is never a problem. match quality was off all night. The New York State Athletic Commission does not mix well.
Yeah, sounds about right.
And it just didn't work.
Okay.
It also didn't help. Like, one of the main events was Effie versus Jeff Jarrett. And at the biggest GCW show of the year, you have Effie lose. And the crowd was but it was the wrong kind of heat. The crowd was pissed off for the rest of the show.
Oh, wow. Okay. That wasn't the main event.
No. Huh. Oh, damn. We're nearly out of time.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Yeah, we are. Oh, wow. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I might actually go on my way and watch that match because I love a Double J. I'm a big Last Outlaw, Mark.
It's a fun match.
I'm very curious because JBL has been showing up in GCW, and I feel like he's going to have a bigger moment coming soon. So I'm curious about that. We can get into JBL just showing up in places next week.
Oh, he's going to wrestle.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's a conversation for next week for sure. Do not let us forget.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's wrap it up, guys. We had a great show, fun show. Hit us up on the socials at In My House Pod, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. As always, like, subscribe, share, all that fun stuff. Great show, fellas. Great job.
Jey Uso's an idiot.
Don't agree. But this has been the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast. Welcome to my house.
To my house.
It's my house.
Yowie wowie.